They were both back in their own heads again, and saw only what was in front of them. Frost shuddered suddenly.
Thank you, Captain. I got lost for a while there.
Let's get out of here, Frost. We've given them their instructions. Anything else is none of our business.
We can't let them run us off. They have to know who's in charge here.
I have an uneasy feeling. They already know. Let's go.
Back on the bridge of the Dauntless, Silence was jerked out of his memories by the quiet but insistent voice of his communications officer, Eden Cross.
Sorry, I was light years away. Run that past me again.
There appears to be a situation below decks, Captain.
There was no trace of a smile on Cross's dark face, but his eyes were understanding.
Not long ago, strange noises were heard coming from inside Security Officer Stelmach's private quarters. Some of his people went to investigate and discovered Stelmach systematically wrecking his quarters. They inquired diplomatically as to what the problem might be, and he threw things at them. They've currently retreated just out of range and are awaiting further instructions. He is their boss, after all. And, technically speaking, only yourself as Captain and Investigator Frost are senior enough to restrain a security officer.
Silence looked at Frost beside him, and she raised an eyebrow. Stelmach had a tendency to get excited in emergencies, but usually on board ship he was cool and calm, and followed every regulation to the letter.
We'd better go and take a look, Investigator. He is in charge of the ship's security, after all. If he's discovered something that upsetting, I think I want to know about it, too.
Frost nodded calmly.
We have been out on the rim a long time. People have been known to crack, so far, from light and life and civilization.
Not Stelmach. It'd take more than a case of cabin fever to crack him.
Silence got to his feet.
Second in command, you have the bridge. Investigator, follow me. But keep your hands away from your weapons. I want Stelmach conscious and able to answer questions.
Spoil sport.
They left the bridge and took the express elevator down to the officers' quarters. They could tell when they were getting near. There were people milling in the corridors, including those from the last shift, woken by the sound of Stelmach's voice, shouting and swearing incoherently. Silence politely but firmly sent them back to their beds, assuring them he'd take care of everything. Frost hurried them on their way with an occasional glare. Finally, the two of them rounded a corner to find half a dozen security men huddled together at the end of the corridor. They jumped half out of their skins when Silence addressed them from behind, and then relaxed a little from sheer relief when they saw who it was. They even looked glad to see the investigator, which was probably a first. There was a quick discussion among the six of them as to who was in charge, and then that one was pushed forward by the others. He started to explain what had happened, realized he hadn't saluted, tried to do that and apologize at the same time, and then started explaining all over again.
At ease, Lieutenant. We'll handle things from here. You and your people fall back out of sight around the corner. It might be your presence that's upsetting him so much. See that this corridor is blocked off at both ends. I don't want anyone else coming in here while we're talking to Stelmach. And, Lieutenant, we are not to be interrupted for anything less than a major emergency.
In his quarters, Stelmach was still shouting and breaking things. Silence admired the man's stamina. He'd had a few blind rages himself in his drinking days, and he knew from experience that rages were hard work to keep going. He turned to Frost, and then frowned at her.
I said no guns, Investigator.
He has one, Captain.
But he hasn't used it yet. Let's not put any ideas into his head.
Silence glared at Frost until she holstered her gun again, and then looked back down the corridor. Things had grown ominously quiet.
Is Stelmach a drinker, do you know? I haven't heard anything, but someone in his position would be under a lot of strain, and in a good position to get his hands on all kinds of booze, legal or otherwise.
Or worse. He'd also have access to all kinds of drugs, for use in his interrogations. There's nothing in his files about substance abuse of any kind, but he had access to the files. I can't say I know the man well. Not many do. Security officer isn't a post to make you popular with people.
But do they respect him?
Oh, I should think so. The fact that no one's rolled a fragmentation grenade into his room while he was sleeping is a pretty good sign the crew respects his authority, and that his people are on their toes.
Silence and Frost moved slowly and quietly down the empty corridor, stopping just short of the open door to Stelmach's quarters. Silence gestured to the investigator, and they both placed their backs against the bulkhead wall next to the door. Technically speaking, all Silence had to do was show himself and order Stelmach to calm down and explain himself. The security officer would do this immediately or face a court-martial for insubordination. In practice, Silence had a strong feeling he might end up doing more ducking than talking. It was still quiet in Stelmach's quarters.
Stelmach, this is the captain. I have the investigator with me. We need to talk to you.
There was no reply. Silence strained his ears against the quiet and thought he could hear harsh, heavy breathing from inside the cabin. Maybe Stelmach had passed out from drink or drugs or exhaustion. And just maybe he was waiting for some poor trusting fool to stick his head around the door so he could shoot it off. Silence licked his dry lips and tried again.
Stelmach, this is the captain. Can you hear me?
Yes, captain. I can hear you. Go away, Silence. I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to talk to anyone.
We rather gathered that, but we're going to have to talk sooner or later, you know that. Now, are you going to invite me in for a little chat, or am I going to have to send the investigator in to reason with you? My way will mean less damage to the fixtures and fittings. Look, whatever the problem is, I can't help you standing around out here. And you do need help, don't you?
There was a long pause, and when Stelmach finally spoke again, his voice was tired and defeated, as though all the rage had just drained right out of him.
All right. Come in. Let's get this over with.
That particular choice of words had an ominous ring to it, but Silence decided he was going in anyway. There wasn't really anything else he could do. He turned to Frost and kept his voice low.
I'm going in first. You back me up. Keep your hands away from your weapons. We don't want to spook him.
I should go in first. I'm more expendable than you.
No offense, Investigator, but you do tend to make a rather strong first impression. The state he's in, he might just take one look at you and open fire. Besides, I'm more of an authority figure as far as he's concerned. He's always responded well to authority figures in the past. And before you ask, no, I'm not going to use a force shield, and neither are you. He might think we didn't trust him.
Oh, we wouldn't want him to think that. Perish the thought. But if he makes one wrong move, I'm going to spatter him all over the bulkheads.
Let's try and be calm about this, Investigator. I don't want him killed. He's a pain in the ass, but he's good at his job. Good security officers are hard to come by. He's also one of the few people with first-hand experience on how to control the Grendel aliens. I'll decide when and if violence is necessary. Now put on a nice smile. We don't want to frighten him.
Frost bared her teeth, and Silence winced. She looked as though she was about to bite him somewhere painful.
All right, forget the smile. It doesn't suit you. Leave all the talking to me, and don't get touchy about anything he says. I want to know what's reduced Stelmach to a state like this.
Frost shrugged, but kept her hands ostentatiously away from her weapons. Silence decided to settle for that. He stepped forward into the corridor and walked through the open door to Stelmach's quarters. Frost stuck so close behind him he could feel her breath on the back of his neck. Silence smiled and nodded to Stelmach, who was sitting on the side of his bed, his head hanging down. His shoulders slumped in tiredness or defeat, or both. His gun was lying on the floor, well out of his reach. Silence relaxed just a little and looked around. The place was a mess. Everything that wasn't nailed down or an intrinsic part of the ship had been picked up and thrown at something else. The single table and chair had been overturned, and the shattered fragments of his more fragile personal belongings covered the floor, along with pretty much everything else. The bed folded down from the cabin wall and had survived intact, but the bedclothes had been torn apart and strewn all over the small cabin. Stelmach was sitting on the bare bed, looking anything but dangerous. but Silence decided he was going to take it slowly anyway. He could sense Frost behind him, like an attack dog straining against a short leash. He stepped forward, and Stelmach finally looked up. His face was tired and drawn, and he looked 10 years older.
"Come in, Captain. Investigator. Excuse the mess. It's the maid's day off."
"I've seen worse. You've been very busy, Stelmach. Any particular reason?"
"What does it matter? I know the regulations. I belong in the brig. Go ahead and take me. I'm finished."
"I don't believe in sentencing someone until they've had a fair hearing. Explain yourself. What brought this on?"
"It's private, Captain. Family business. I don't want to talk about it."
"Talk anyway. If I'm going to lose the best security officer I've ever had, I want to know why."
Stelmach looked past Silence's shoulder at Frost.
"Does she have to be here?"
"She's concerned for my safety. But she can step out into the corridor if you'd like."
"No, I don't suppose it matters. I got a letter this morning from my family. We've always been very close, ever since our father died when I was very young. There was a demonstration, some kind of political thing, and it turned ugly. Someone threw something, someone else opened fire, and my father, the police officer, was dead before he hit the ground. Mother brought us up, kept us together, did whatever was necessary to keep a roof over our heads, clothes on our backs, food in our bellies. I was the youngest. Never wore new clothes in my life till I joined the service. We were raised to revere my father as a saint and have nothing at all to do with politics. She had all of us sign up for the services the moment we were old enough. There's always job security in the services, whatever might be happening anywhere else. My sister Athena was the eldest. They took her away to become an investigator when she was 10. We lost touch with her after that. My brothers Bold and Hero did well for themselves. Bold's a major in the army. Hero's a group leader in the Jesuit commandos. They write home regularly, send money when they can. I'm the only failure. My career's over. After the debacle on the Wolfling World, I was lucky not to be executed. But I'll never be more than a security officer now, not even if I was officially exonerated. Even my work on controlling the Grendel aliens has been taken over by other people. As far as my family is concerned, I've disgraced them by being such a failure. My mother wrote to me, telling me not to come home again. She's expelled me from the family, disinherited me, and removed all references to me from the family history. She now tells everyone she only ever had 2 sons. I always did my best, followed the regulations, did as I was told, tried hard to be a good soldier, lived my life for the Empire. And what did it get me? A security officer's post on a ship passing time out on the rim, going nowhere, doing nothing, or nothing that really matters. Do what you want to me, I don't care.
He looked up suddenly, glaring at Silence and Frost. There were bright spots of color on his pale cheeks, and his eyes were puffy from crying, but still sharp.
I hate this ship. I hate you, too. Both of you. If I kept you under control like I was supposed to, things might have been different. But I let you reason with me, and the investigator intimidate me, and it all went wrong. I hate my life, or what's left of it. And most of all, I hate myself for being so weak. My mother said my father would spit on me if he could see what I've become. And I think she's right. He would have shown more courage, more something. Sometimes he comes to me in my cabin, sits on the end of my bed in the early hours of the morning, and tells me he's ashamed of me. He looks young. Sharp, just like in the hollows taken before he was killed. Now, I'm older now than he was then, but I'll always be a child to him. I can't stand these quarters anymore. I'm afraid to sleep.
put me in the brig, or have the investigator shoot me and put me out of my family's misery. She'd like that. I don't care. I don't care about anything anymore.
Stomach finally wound down, his head lowering bit by bit, till he was staring at the floor again. He wasn't crying. He was too tired for that. Silence didn't know what to say. He'd read up on Stomach's background to try and find out why anyone would name their child Valiant, but the bare facts hadn't really made any sense till now. He felt ashamed and embarrassed at being so bluntly confronted with someone else's private pain and shame. These were the kinds of things you normally only told to your friends or loved ones. But as a security officer, Stelmach had no friends. And now he had no family either. That was why he'd wrecked his cabin. It was his way of letting the anger out, as well as a reason to be punished. Silence didn't know what to do. He couldn't just have the man arrested and thrown in the brig, even if that was technically the correct thing to do. He wasn't Stelmach's friend, didn't even like the man, but he was a part of the Dauntless's crew, and as his captain, it was Silence's duty to look after him. He was responsible for the man's well-being, like a father for an errant son. The thought struck a strong chord in him.
Valiant, listen to me. We're your family now. This ship, this crew. You belong to us. If anyone's going to decide you're a failure, it'll be me. And I haven't made my mind up yet. You've survived when a lot of others didn't. And you were the first man ever to yoke a Grendel. They can't take that away from you. You're not a failure till I say you are. I'm your family and I'm your father. And the first thing I have to say to you is, clean up your room, boy.
Stomach looked at him, startled. It was healthy laughter, dispersing the gloom and doom that had filled the cabin, and Silence began to relax. He smiled at Frost, and though she didn't smile back, she seemed perhaps a little less cold and forbidding than she usually did. But before he could say anything, Silence's comm unit chimed in his ear. He gestured for Stelmach to wait a moment and opened a channel.
This is Silence. It had better be important.
I'm afraid it is, Captain.
It was his second in command.
I think you'd better get back to the bridge. We have a situation up here.
What kind of situation?
Damned if I know, Captain, but I'll be a lot happier when you're back on the bridge. There's something out there.
The comm channel closed abruptly, leaving only the faintest hiss of static in Silence's ear. Silence's first thought was an alien ship, but if that had been the case, the second would have said so. Hell, he'd have sounded a red alert by now.
Forget this mess. We're needed on the bridge. Move it.
Of course, Captain.
And Stelmach led the way out of his cabin. They headed down the corridor together, three professional officers from the same great family, whose needs always came first. Back on the bridge, Silence nodded quickly to his second in command and sank into his command chair again. Frost and Stelmach took up positions on either side of him, at hand if he needed them. The atmosphere on the bridge was so tense you could have sharpened a knife on it. Everyone was at their station, engrossed in their instruments, but they were too alert, too focused, almost as though they were afraid to look away. The main view screen showed the Dauntless's route had brought them right to the edge of the rim. At a certain point, the stars and the light they cast just stopped abruptly, as though it had run into a wall. And beyond that, there was only the utter blackness of the dark void, where no light shone. It was hard to look at for any length of time, but your eyes kept creeping back to it. Silence glared at his second in command.
Everything seems to be in order, second. Nothing on the view screen, all instruments functioning, so what's the problem?
The second-in-command shifted uncomfortably in his seat.
It was the communications officer, sir, who first brought it to my attention.
Silence turned to look at Cross, his frown deepening.
Well?
It's difficult to put into words, Captain.
Cross turned away from his station so he could look at Silence directly.
I've been hearing things.
voices in the void, calling out to me. There are people talking out there in empty space where there can't be any people. I've checked the sensors. There's no one here but us. But it isn't just me. People have been hearing things for days on all the comm channels, from the main hailing frequencies to private cabin-to-cabin channels. Whispering, muttering, just clear enough to spook people with what they can make out. There's nothing wrong with the comm equipment. I've checked it every way I can, and it all checks out 100%. Then I thought someone was playing tricks. But if they are, I can't catch them at it, and I know all the tricks in the book. So I checked with other people, and that's when I found out this has been going on for days, ever since we started approaching the edge of the rim. And it's not just voices. It's like we're being watched all the time. And I don't mean the security cameras. We're used to them. It's more like there's someone else in the room with you, even when there isn't. It's like someone standing over your bed when you're sleeping, watching and waiting. There's a constant feeling that something's wrong, something we should be doing, something important and vital.
Night terrors aren't exactly unknown out here on the rim. The dark void's still pretty much a mystery. We don't know how much close proximity to it affects the mind. And one way or another, we've all spent a lot of time exposed to it recently.
That's what I thought at first. It's what we all thought. This phenomenon's been reported before by other ships out on the rim who've stayed out here too long. Seeing things, hearing things, feeling things. It's usually written off as cabin fever. The dock hands out industrial-strength tranquilizers, and that keeps people quiet until they've left the rim. But I've been running some more detailed checks. When I reran the bridge tapes, according to my instruments at the times I was hearing the voices, there were no signals coming in. No signals at all.
Silence raised an eyebrow at that. Some form of ESP communication?
Not according to the ship's ESPer, Captain. If there were any psionic forces on board apart from himself, or even in the vicinity, he'd know. And there's more. It's difficult to record these voices. They don't always come through clearly enough to make an impression. But during the time you were gone from the bridge, I picked up a whole group of voices and managed to record them. Listen.
He turned back to his console and tapped in a command. A loud hissing filled the air as static seeped from the main address speakers. Silence frowned, straining his ears against the white noise of the static. He could see everyone else on the bridge was listening too. Their faces taut with suspense and barely hidden fear. Silence's gut tightened again. What could be so scary about a few voices? And then a voice rose out of the static, cold and dead, but very determined to be heard. And then there was only the hissing of static on the speakers. Cross turned them off and looked back at Silence.
Whatever this is, it's getting worse. These are the clearest recordings so far. I tried computer enhancements on the earlier recordings, but it didn't help. Almost as though the computer couldn't hear them. I hadn't realized how widespread the problem was till I started asking around. I don't think anyone did. They all thought it was just them going crazy.
Is what we've just heard typical of what the voices are saying?
Pretty much. They all make a kind of sense, but what they mean is anyone's guess.
What do you think they are? Cross's features tightened, but his gaze was level, and when he spoke, his voice was carefully flat and calm.
I think they're voices of the dead, Captain. desperately trying to reach us, to warn us about something. Some members of the crew I talked to claimed to have recognized particular, familiar voices. All of them people they knew to be dead. Friends and relatives, precious ones, long gone. I heard my grandfather. He was part of the crew on the Starship Champion when it disappeared out on the rim over 100 years ago. Now we're here, in the same sector, and it's starting again. Voices of the dead desperately trying to communicate, to make us understand before it's too late. And before you say anything, Captain, yes, I do know how this must sound, but we've all heard the voices. Haven't you heard anything, Captain? Felt anything strange in the long hours of the night?
No. I can't say I have. He looked at Frost, and she shook her head sharply. He looked to his other side. Stelmach?
I'm not sure. I saw my father, but I thought that was just dreams. And once, when I woke up in the early hours of the morning, I thought I felt my sister's presence, standing over me, protecting me from something.
All right. Let's not get carried away here. I have no doubt this phenomenon is real, but whatever it is you're hearing, it's not the dearly departed dropping in for a chat. Much more likely, it's some form of psionic communication we haven't encountered before, that your minds are interpreting as voices and feelings. There was a report filed a few years back, which most of you are supposed to have read, about the possibility of new forms of life appearing in the dark void. The report's author believed there could be creatures living in the endless dark, in the gulfs between the frozen planets. A new kind of life, made possible by the unnatural conditions in the dark void. And if that doesn't grab you, try this. How about some subtle form of alien attack? We're expecting the new alien ships to come through the dark void to reach us. This could all be nothing more than some new kind of psionic weapon, designed to scare and confuse us. And doing a pretty good job from the look of you. Silence looked around the bridge and could see the new ideas taking root. People were starting to look at each other, smiling and relaxing, as they considered the new ideas and found they liked them. They began to murmur among themselves and sit back in their chairs, the fear and uncertainty visibly dropping away from them. Even Cross was nodding, agreeing. Silence let them talk and laugh for a few minutes before restoring bridge discipline.
Activate the long-range sensors, Cross. If there is an alien ship out there somewhere, hiding in the dark void, I want to know about it.
Cross nodded quickly and bent over his station, powering up the long-range sensors. He hadn't been using them automatically because of the vast amounts of power they burned up, but theoretically they could detect a grain of sand half a light year away and tell you what it had for breakfast. The odds were he wouldn't find anything, but just operating the long-range sensors for a while should help the crew feel better and more secure.
I'm almost disappointed. So much fuss over a few night terrors. They'll be wanting someone to hold their hands when they cross the road next.